Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I'm going to cover in this audio a huge hunk of scripture, Exodus 35, verse 1 to Exodus 39, verse 43, five chapters. But the audio will be very short. The reason for this is because these five chapters are almost a verbatim repetition of stuff I've already gone over in great detail concerning the construction of the tabernacle. The earlier chapters were relating the story of how God told Moses how to build the tabernacle, and these five chapters that I'm skipping say that the tabernacle was done just like God had told Moses, and so it's repetitious. However, at the beginning of the instructions on how to build the tabernacle, there is a short statement about the Sabbath. It's one of two places in the Old Testament, maybe three, that the Sabbath is mentioned, but it's so important in Jewish history, so we're going to spend our time in this audio talking about these few verses, five or six verses here. Our context is this: in our last chapter, Exodus chapter 34, we read about Moses coming down the mountain the second time with brand new tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written on them, and how he renewed the covenant with the people. And so the broken covenant is reestablished, and the people are ready to go again. But first, they've got to build the tabernacle. So let's start here in Exodus 35, verses 1 through 3. Then Moses assembled all the congregations of the sons of Israel, all the congregation of the sons of Israel, and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." Now already the Israelites had been especially warned after the instructions for building the tabernacle. They had been especially warned to keep the Sabbath, because in their haste to build, they would likely forget to keep the Sabbath. So I'll go back and pick that up in Exodus 31:13. "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely observe my Sabbath. For this is a sign between you and me, between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.'" So the complete Sabbath law, that's just one verse in Exodus 31. Exodus 31, 12 through 17 gives the complete Sabbath law. There is one other mention in Exodus 16, 23, which I'll get to later. And then we have our passage here in Exodus 35, verses 1 through 3. So the Israelites were warned to keep the Sabbath right after the instructions on how to build a tabernacle were given. And now here they're instructed to keep the Sabbath right before they're getting ready to build the tabernacle. A double warning, if you will, a double shot across the bow. Hey, Israelites, it's going to be tough building this tabernacle. It's going to involve a lot of labor, but you're going to keep the Sabbath even though you're working hard. Now, this Sabbath is mentioned here in verse 2. It's the weekly Sabbath. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a holy day, a Sabbath of complete rest. And then it says in verse 3, and this is where I'm going to spend most of my time talking about, verse 3, "You shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." Now, this is the only place in the three Sabbath references in the law that anything is said about a fire not being built on the Sabbath day. There is an implication in Exodus 16:23 where you're supposed to bake and boil what you want to and then eat it the next day. Implication there, if you're going to eat it without cooking it, there's no fire, but it doesn't explicitly state that there's a fire not to be built. Now let's look at some of the technicalities that can be involved in this prohibition. Verse 3 says, "You shall not kindle a fire." Well, Moses is talking to Jews here, the sons of Israel. What about some of the mixed multitude, the rabble that left out of Egypt who accompanied the Israelites? They're not Jews, so maybe a Jew could get one of those guys to light a fire. In my humble opinion, that's playing games with the intention of the law. I'm going to tell you in just a minute that the intention of the law was to keep them from heating up their tools, from melting gold and silver to make the articles of the tabernacle. And if you got a non-Jewish servant to light a fire so that you could heat up your tools and work on the tabernacle on Sabbath, you're breaking the law. That's a technical loophole that I think any good Jewish judge would close in a minute. Now, here's another technical way that a Jew could get out of this prohibition of building a fire on Saturday. It says, "You shall not kindle a fire on the Sabbath day." Well, what if you kindle it on Friday and then just let it keep burning until Saturday and then do what you're going to do? Heat your tools up, melt some gold and silver. Again, that violates the intention of the law, playing games. Now here I'm going to read Exodus 16:23. This is when the Israelites were collecting manna from the desert. He, that's Moses, told them, the children of Israel, "This is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil and set aside everything left over to be kept until morning." Now that verse seems to prohibit letting a pre-kindled fire burn on the Sabbath. But I really think the purpose of that verse was to not collect manna on the Sabbath. I don't think the purpose was to keep them from building a fire on the Sabbath. They're just not supposed to collect manna on the Sabbath. So that's an implication that's not exactly clear to me about not letting the fire burn on the Sabbath. I don't think this prohibition in Exodus 35:3, "You shall not kindle a fire," has anything to do with eating, in my humble opinion. It has to do with heating up the tools, melting the silver and gold and bronze for the tabernacle, because this is the whole purpose of putting the prohibition against working right here, is to show that they shall not work during the tabernacle. I believe the context should rule here. Now, a lot of commentaries say that the law concerning the fire seems to be a temporary one. John Gill, for example. Now, I am going to give you four arguments, and I think they're pretty good arguments, that this was a temporary prohibition, not about keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be throughout your generations. Exodus 31:13 says that, the verse I just read you. The prohibition against working on the Sabbath right after the instructions were given. Exodus 31, it says, "This is a sign between me and you." God says, "This is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." So yeah, the Sabbath goes on as long as the Old Testament polity existed. But the fire, that's a different thing. Now let's look at four arguments that this fire was a temporary statute, not a permanent one for as long as the Israelites existed, a temporary statute as they were building the tabernacle. I guess you could say until they got to the promised land maybe, but it seems to me the whole purpose of the thing was not to build a fire while you're building the tabernacle. So I'd say once the tabernacle's built, that's it. Well, let's look at the arguments. These are from Matthew Poole, famous commentator. First of all, this verse here in Exodus 35:3 does not say that you shall not kindle a fire through your generations. It doesn't say this is a perpetual statute. Now, that phrase is used a lot of times in a lot of laws as we've gone through the book of Exodus. This is be a statute throughout the generations. This is a statute. This is a perpetual statute. Doesn't say that here about the fire. It just says it. Now, I know that's an argument from silence, but I'll just throw it on the pile of arguments to make my case. The second argument that the prohibition against kindling a fire on the Sabbath was temporary, because the Sabbath was a feast day, not a fast day, and you've got to build a fire if you're going to have a feast and have a bunch of guests over. Jesus went to a Sabbath feast, Luke 14:1. "One Sabbath when he went in to eat in the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they were watching him closely." Well, now, you have the house of one of the leading Pharisees. There were a lot of people there. Who cooked all that food? They cooked it that day. They didn't cook the food the night before and then serve cold leftovers the next day at a feast. Doesn't say it's a feast, but that's what these leading Pharisees had. They had these big public meals. And Jesus kept the law until his death. And so if he's eating cooked food that was cooked on a fire, he would be breaking the law. So that's the second argument, that this fire prohibition on Sabbath was not related, was only temporary during the construction of the tabernacle. It's not meant to, and it was not meant to deal with cooking food. Third argument, the kindling of a fire on the Sabbath is not going to hinder the religious observation of the Sabbath. This is Matthew Poole's argument. Washing, dressing, eating, and drinking was allowed, so what's the big deal about allowing kindling a fire? Now, an argument that might cut against that is that Exodus 16:23 is not about the construction of the tabernacle. Let me read Exodus 16:23. This is the manna thing. It says, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil and set aside everything left over to be kept until morning." Well, that's not about construction of the tabernacle. That's about food, right? So you could say, well, see there, they couldn't cook a fire, couldn't light a fire when they're cooking their food. Well, that's true. Exodus 16:23 is not about the construction of the tabernacle. However, it is about manna, and manna was temporary. And besides, Exodus 16:23 says nothing about lighting a fire on the Sabbath. It just deals with not eating manna on the Sabbath. It doesn't say anything about not lighting a fire. So I don't think Exodus 16:23 cuts against the argument that Poole makes, argument number four, that the mention of fire in our verse here in Exodus 35:3 was probably to prohibit tabernacle labor, not to keep people from cooking on Saturday. And to repeat, the reason for that is the prohibition is mentioned right before the construction is to begin. The building of the tabernacle was not a permanent thing. Therefore, the prohibition against using fire to build the tabernacle is not a permanent thing. Besides, it had nothing to do with eating. If you strictly interpreted this verse that they couldn't start a fire on Saturday, that means you couldn't light a fire to heat your homes. Now, you could say, well, you don't need to light a fire to heat your home. They're in the desert. Well, you ever been in a desert at night? It gets real cold at night in the desert. What happens if you have a little kid that needs some heat or an elderly person who's sick? You're not going to light a fire? The commentator Benson said maybe there were some exceptions about not lighting a fire on the Sabbath. Heat for the sick and for children. But, you know, to me, it's easier to say, no, the verse doesn't even prohibit lighting a fire on Saturday anyway. It has nothing to do with that. Well, at any rate, we'll leave it there and go on to verse 4, Exodus 35. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, what is the thing? The next five chapters, which we're not going to go over because we've already done. Exodus 35, starting here in verse 4, all the way to the end of chapter 39, verse 43, is for the most part a repetition of the following passages in Exodus, according to the NIV Study Bible, chapters 25, 26, 27, and 28, Exodus 30, verses 1 through 5, and Exodus 31, 1 through 11, which we've already gone over in great detail in previous podcast episodes. Now, the NIV Study Bible says these are the characteristics of this repetitive material that we're skipping. Sometimes it repeats the earlier material verbatim. In the repeated material, the verbs are primarily in the past tense rather than the future tense. That makes sense because before the temple was built, God's going to say, this is what you're going to do. And now that it's been built, this is what has been done on it. And also the topics are not arranged in the same order in the repetition. Now, the question might arise in one's mind, why the repetition? Well, the NIV Study Bible says it was intended to fix details in the reader's mind that repetition was a common feature in ancient Near Eastern literature. Well, I'm not an ancient Near Eastern person. I don't need to read all that repetition, so we're going to close it down right here. And when we pick it up again, we'll do the last chapter in Exodus chapter 40. In that chapter, we will see the tabernacle is erected. We'll see the glory of the Lord appear. A great way to finish off the book of Exodus. So I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.